Greetings, greetings, once again, to all my enemies and all my friends. Well, you may have heard the news, but stand by now for the worldview. That's right, it's a special edition, ladies and gentlemen. We have breaking news right here at the Weekly Worldview. It's a special edition. Did I mention we have breaking news here at the Weekly Worldview? It's breaking news. We have reaction to America's relocation of the American Embassy in Israel. We have reaction. It's breaking news. Somebody needs to tell Sean Hannity that just because he has a panel of five people reacting to something, that's not breaking news. And it's not, it's never a very special edition. But every night, or every night that I watch, which isn't every night, but sometimes.
Richard Nixon.
That's right, he had breaking news. His tape of Richard Nixon started playing. Okay. Anyway, but you people, you drink it up, you lap it up, whatever. His ratings are... anyway, it's unbelievable. This is just the same old Weekly Worldview. There's nothing breaking. At least not that I'm aware of. We'll talk about the embassy. We'll talk about a number of things. But let's start with popcorn and the proctocracy. Yes, the proctocracy, which is a designation that I have not used in quite a while. But proctocracy is defined as rule by lawyers. And that's what we're living in right now. In America, is in a proctocracy. I actually just hit the sneeze button to sneeze. That's the first time I've ever hit the button just to actually sneeze. That's what I did. I feel better for it, too. I always feel better after a good sneeze. So the proctocracy is alive and well around San Diego County. Indeed, the health inspectors raided La Jolla's Meanly and Sons Hardware, the hardware store. Why? Because health inspectors say that popcorn is a threat to public health. That's right. So they raided the hardware store in La Jolla, told the owners they didn't have the proper permits. They had a popcorn machine, you see, and they were handing out, they had been handing out free bags of popcorn for about 25 years. And health inspector in La Jolla, yeah.
Free in La Jolla.
What's that now?
Something is free in La Jolla.
Yeah, that's the only thing free in La Jolla. So thus ended a tradition that the owners had been practicing for 25 years. The owners say this whole thing has made us more aware of our liability. See, and that's the soul-crushing part of it. It's all a part of growing up and becoming an adult and learning about your exposure and your liability. And slowly but surely, it crushes your soul. Up until last week, they were just innocently handing out free popcorn like civilized human beings. But now they realize their exposure and their liability. And things are never the same after you realize your exposure and your liability in the proctocracy. Life is never the same after that. You lose some part of your innocence that pretty much ruins the rest of your existence to a certain degree. Not completely. But anyone who's ever had the health inspectors come in and shake them down, or anyone who's ever been the victim of a frivolous lawsuit knows that the proctocracy seeks to crush our souls by making us first consider our exposure and our liability, instead of just concerning ourselves with our neighbors and ourselves and our families. So I really feel sorry for these Bob Meanly out in La Jolla, soul crushed. The proctocracy did its job. Now, let's go on to Stephen Hawking's funeral, which we did not attend. Here we have breaking news, ladies and gentlemen. The funeral is being held for Stephen Hawking. No, so here is some breaking news. The royal wedding. Could Sean pull that off if he said the royal wedding? That's sort of breaking. So I like the idea of a royal wedding, only because it is the only full-throated celebration of normal marriage, just normal biblical marriage. It's a full-throated celebration of it, right in the face of all the perverts and weirdos. Even though if you watch this thing on CNN, it was, well, anyway. One commenter was flaming and lisping all over about the fashion. And then you had the one reporter, the guy who got arrested in the park. Remember the guy, the British guy on CNN who got arrested in the park? I can't even say what he was doing. He had drugs with him. He got arrested. He's doing the play-by-play for the royal wedding. And then, of course, the American preacher that they had over there, pro-abort, pro-homosexual, pervert, scum of the earth, scum of the earth. But anyway, Prince Harry is not a homosexual. I guess that's the one thing we can say. It's a pretty low bar. And the other girl, the half-breed, what's her name? Madeline Markle? Meghan Markle. I can say half-breed, right? I have an interracial marriage, so I have liberties in that area that other people don't have. Yeah. So I didn't know that she was, her mom is black, apparently. That's a big deal. But she's a heterosexual, from what we understand. And that's how low the bar is. It's just the fact that they're not, yeah. Anyway, time travelers were, I'm sure I freaked everybody out with the half-breed line. Oh, that freaks people out. Whatever.
Our
children, how dare you say that? All right. This comes to us from the science. Really? File. Stephen Hawking's family invited time travelers to his memorial service. He died in March, you remember, at the age of 76, according to Reuters, anyhow, if they're to be believed. If he hadn't actually traveled back in time. June 15th, his ashes will be interred. Oh, it hasn't happened yet. Maybe we could still make it. It's coming up on June 15th. Do we have anything booked? Do we have anything scheduled? Maybe we could make it over. His ashes will be interred alongside the graves of Isaac Newton and Charles Darwin. Are they buried next to each other? Well, not at, and Isaac Newton would be highly offended to be buried next to Charles Darwin, but I suppose they probably are. Newton didn't have a whole lot to say about it. Those wishing to apply to go Do they call it something? An internment? A celebration of Hawking's life. Isn't that what the pagans always do? Instead of getting together and admitting that they're terrified of dying and humbling themselves before God, they always have a celebration of life. So they can avoid talking about the fact that everyone in the room is going to die. That you should have a funeral where everybody's sad and you talk about God and eternity and all of that stuff. But instead, the pagans have a celebration of life. And meanwhile, the guy whose life they're celebrating is actually dead right in front of them, laying there, helpless. He can't even get up, and nobody wants to talk about it. It's like the elephant in the room at the celebration of life. Anyway, if you want to go, you have to fill out a form. That right there means I'm not going. Anything I have to fill out a form to do, there's a 90% chance I will not do it. If you do fill out the form, you have to fill in your date of birth, which can be any day up to the end of 2038 as a date of birth. So they did that in case, well, they did it because Hawking himself once threw a party for time travelers to see if anyone would show up. And he posted the invite after the party had occurred. So here's a guy who's a genius at mathematics who's a complete moron. Or maybe he was just joking. Maybe. But I think that Stephen Hawking had some reasonable expectation that time travel may very well be possible, if I'm not mistaken. Anyway, he did a party. He hosted a party, invited time travelers, and none showed up at his party. But his family says They say Hawking always remained curious about the potential for time travel. And so in honor of that rather dysphoric hope or interest, his family invited time travelers to his celebration of life at Westminster Abbey, June 15th. If you want to go, get in line, fill out a form. All right. Thank you very much, Mr. Hawking, for one final contribution to the science. Really? File. We go now to the domestic tranquility file, where the state of domestic tranquility out in San Francisco, well, it's not what it used to be. What with the hippies and that whole thing that didn't work out well. And the filth and the sexual perversion and the venereal diseases. San Francisco now, here in the 21st century, the enlightened ones in the San Francisco proctocracy, they hand out millions of syringes every year to drug addicts. That's how the San Francisco Board of Supervisors and the student council there in San Francisco passed the time. They developed programs to hand out syringes to junkies. They hand out about 400,000 syringes a month. That's a lot of junkies, for crying out loud. Wow. Well, according to anyone who lives there, about half of the syringes are discarded out in the open streets. And a couple hundred thousand end up in the city's 13 syringe access and disposal sites. So there in San Francisco, they have a syringe access and disposal site. And I think that means that a junkie can show up and he can get his syringes there, or her syringes. I don't mean to be sexist. So you want equality amongst the junkies there in San Francisco. You can show up, you can get your syringe there, and then you can bebop along and do whatever it is you do with them. And then you can show up a few days later and you can deposit the used syringes in the disposal site. But an awful lot of the junkies never make it back to dispose of the syringes properly. And about half of these syringes end up in the streets. That's about 200,000 a month. A month! Wait a minute, that's got to be a year. Hold on, let me check this out. No, it's about 200,000 a month are just thrown out on the streets. Shocking. They end up on the streets, in parks, and in other public areas, and in front of people's houses, and all of that. The city has no plans to change its policy on handing out unlimited numbers of needles. Unlimited. So when they ask the student council, how many syringes do you think we'll hand out? When they wrote into law the structure, the framework to organize this effort to hand out syringes to junkies, they said, well, let's make it unlimited. So they hand out an unlimited number, and that's their plan. They're not going to change that. How many, Mr. Mayor? Unlimited! Unlimited. How many junkies? Unlimited! We refuse to limit. All right, so... So since they're not going to stop handing out needles because this is such an important program, to address the problem, the mayor of San Francisco hired 10 workers whose sole job will be to pick up needles from the streets of San Francisco starting in June. Ah, how about that? The student council gets to do what they want to make themselves feel good. The board of supervisors gets to keep one of their pet projects running. And the mayor finds jobs for 10 of his misfit relatives, friends, mistresses, and maybe even one or two people who don't even exist. I need a life of crime. Dirty deeds, got that chick. Dirty deeds, got that chick. Dirty deeds, got that chick. Dirty deeds and a dunder chick. Dirty deeds and a dunder. you. Hold on, hold on. We're back. I don't want to do this story. I got the story in front of me that I'm going to switch it up here. Let's go to the Me Too, the hashtag Me Too file. The Me Too movement is so big, it's got its own file here at the Weekly Worldview. Now, if you remember back, if you've listened to the show, you've heard me warn you people that the Me Too movement is not only going to come to nothing as far as improving the environment in Hollywood for women and boys. Not only will it not improve the environment, the sexual oppression environment and molestation environment and just immorality environment, but it's going to make it even worse. And here I have some more evidence this week of that, where the executives at Disney, and then here's an interesting, the story is from the Wall Street Journal. And so Dateline Los Angeles, executives at Disney Company, and then in parentheses is the current stock price of Disney, which is appropriate for this story. Executives at Disney out there in Los Angeles have discussed bringing John Lasseter back into the company. Do you folks remember who John Lasseter is? He's one of the Hollywood executives caught up in the whole Me Too movement, forced out of his job because of groping people. And who knows what he actually did? What came out was some groping. Who knows what the guy actually did? But the company now is... We put him on 6-month leave. He hasn't groped anyone in that time that we're aware of. The stock price is, it could be better. We have a lot of projects that he was involved in. So what we're thinking is at the end of his 6-month leave is to bring him back. And all the women he groped, they'll have to just get over it. Or they can leave. They're free to leave. Anyway, at the end of his leave, he was accused of unwelcome touching. Well, that's a nice way to say it, unwelcome touching. But here's what you have to understand, people. Lasseter helped develop the Disney company via his Pixar animation into a family entertainment powerhouse. And so we're faced with a predicament of what to do. And the Wall Street Journal reminds us that many companies right now are facing this very similar predicament. What do we do with the powerhouse executive who made us all this money, who molested all those people? What do we do now? Well, the chief executive, Robert Iger, over at Disney, is now, he's tasked with deciding the fate of a man, according to the Wall Street Journal, a man long considered one of Hollywood's most bankable geniuses. So some employees, I'll post the article, some of the employees are uncomfortable with him coming back, which tells me there was probably a little more than unwanted touching going on. So some of the employees don't want him to come back. Employees said he made them uncomfortable, particularly younger women. And the younger women in the company came forward in the light of the Me Too movement. They expected that the pervert would be ridden out of town on a rail. Instead, he was put on a 6-month leave. And, the thing is, they'll call all the young women that he molested into the conference room. Yeah, they'll have a big meeting. And they'll remind all the young women who were groped about Toy Story, Finding Nemo, Frozen, please, right? I mean, we got Toy Story 4 in the can. And we've got Frozen 2 is about to, ladies, please, do you understand what's at stake here? We can't get Incredibles 2 finished until, so. And then all the women who were molested and all of the liberal and homosexual men who got on their high horses and rode the Me Too movement for all it was worth, they're all going to just swallow really hard and get over it. And Me Too will show itself to be hollow and empty. Not only won't it change things for the better, it will make it worse because now all the women who were molested over at Disney by this pervert, now they'll all know exactly where they stand. And they'll tolerate it. And then we'll move bravely forward into the a brave new world there. All right. I don't want to do this story. Instead, I'll go to Rex Tillerson. So this story, in fact, I'm going to put this story at the very end. If I get to it, I get to it. If I don't, I don't, and I'm not sure I want to do it. All right, this is from the You've Gotta Be Kidding Me file. Rex Tillerson, former Secretary of State, the man who sodomized the Boy Scouts, that's right. Rex Tillerson is the man who navigated the cultural abyss for the Boy Scouts, taking them into the land of the homosexual scoutmaster. Rex Tillerson was at the helm of that ship as it swirled through the sucking eddy of darkness into the tent of the homosexual scoutmaster. Rex Tillerson gave a speech at, I believe it was VMI, right? The Virginia Military Academy, the Virginia Military Institute, I'm sorry. He gave the graduation speech. And he talked about a growing national crisis of ethics and integrity, said Tillerson. Yes, in his speech, he warned that, he said, we can't go wobbly on the truth. A free people cannot go wobbly on the truth. If it happens, we go wobbly on America. He said, American democracy, as we know it, is entering its twilight years. If we can't all agree that there is objective truth. Now, he didn't use the term objective truth because he's probably not familiar with it. Instead, he talked about a crisis of ethics and integrity in our society, among our leaders in both public and private sector, and regrettably in the nonprofit sector, like the Boy Scouts. Tillerson lamented assaults on facts. Assaults on facts, whatever that means. Maybe a fact like Boy Scouts are boys and Boy Scouts are straight. Straight. It's even in their motto that they're straight, Mr. Tillerson. That was a fact until Mr. Tillerson assaulted it along with a big pile of other perverts. You know, my mom and dad, they never let me join the Boy Scouts. I did Cub Scouts one time. But it was two women who were the den masters, and my dad figured they were probably lesbians. He said, get in the car. Get out of here. Never did the Boy Scouts. The Boy Scouts was always known. It was always well known amongst prepubescent boys that the Boy Scouts was full of homos. That's all. At least where I grew up. It was well known. Tillerson just put the final fork in it, for crying out loud. All right. Gosh, I just had a flashback of these two women. I think I was in third grade. Anyway, I just remember going in. My dad looked around. What? Two women? Get in the car, boys. We're going home. That was the end of my Boy Scout career. All right. Now, speaking of an assault on the truth, an assault on facts, going wobbly on the truth. Let me preface this next story from the politics file with a confession to all of you people out there. I want to love Donald Trump. I do. I desperately want to become a Trumper, a Trumpeteer, whatever you call yourselves. I want to be the antithesis of the never Trump type person. And I never was a never Trumper, never. I wasn't like that. No. I was pretty much never any of these Republicans. If I remember correctly, back to the primaries, I can't remember supporting any of them. But Trump was one of the least offensive amongst the lot. So I want to fall in love with Donald Trump. I'm finding it difficult. And I'm getting really upset with headlines like this from the Weekly Standard that was all over the conservative news last week. The headline screams out, Trump to cut Planned Parenthood funding. That was it. Yes, and all the evangelicals stood up and said, amen. President Trump is going to defund Planned Parenthood just like he promised. He's going to keep his promise. And the average bamboozled Republican reads that headline and moves on. And they assume that Donald Trump has overturned Roe versus Wade, defunded Planned Parenthood, and all is right and well in the world. And they go on their bamboozled way. But I actually read the details of the story. And what I found out was, well, I'll just read it to you. This is from the Weekly Standard. Trump is going to cut funding to abortionists under Title 10. I said Title 10. Are you people even familiar with Title 10? On the page, it reads as Title X, which is appropriate. Title 10 provides about $250 million annually for family planning initiatives. $250 million? I thought Planned Parenthood got $500 billion. The Title 10 program's only $260 million. So that right there, folks, is where I noticed that there was an issue here. So the new proposal by the Trump administration, which is just a proposal at the moment, would require a bright line of physical as well as financial separation between Title 10 programs and anyone, any facility where abortions are performed or even referred. A bright line, that's what they're going to do. So what's happening here, if you remember back in, so Title 10 is a big government program that should not exist. People don't need help planning their families. And if they do need help, they should rely on their families, not the government. But back in the 70s, the government set up Title 10 so that they could give money to clinics ostensibly to help with family planning. And it was basically money for abortions. That's what Title 10 came about, so they could give money to abortionists, which they did until 1988, when President Reagan issued regulations to end the practice. So Reagan issues orders. The regulation was immediately challenged in court, and it was never enforced. And so Title 10 continued to fund abortion through the Clinton administration, through the George W. Bush administration, through the Obama administration. And right up until this day, Title 10 funds the killing of innocent children in America. Your money and mine. Well, Donald Trump stood up and said, I'm going to do what Reagan did. Even though what Reagan did never stopped a single abortion, it got Reagan some good headlines. It helped him with the bamboozled evangelicals to believe that Ronald Reagan was pro-life. And taking a page from the Reagan playbook, Trump is going to do the same thing. The Democrats, they will challenge this in court immediately, and Title 10 funding will continue to flow to Planned Parenthood unabated, and it will be used to kill children. In fact, we have a quote here from a Trump administration official. He says, quote, this proposal does not necessarily defund Planned Parenthood. That's down in the fourth paragraph, right in the middle. So hopefully you won't notice it, but there it is. What it will do, if they want to get their Title 10 money, Planned Parenthood will have to disentangle themselves from abortion or fund their activities with privately raised funds. So here's your most pro-life administration since George Washington saying that you can kill children, but you have to use your own money. That's your most pro-life. So I wonder, has Trump or Pence ever stated that the unborn children have a right to life? I just wonder. Because, you know, no one on the current Supreme Court has ever stated that the unborn child has a right to life, and they've also never stated that abortion should be illegal. And I would be shocked to find that Pence or Trump has ever said that the unborn child has a right to life or that abortion should be illegal. Oh, and finally, for all you bamboozled out there, and I remind you, I want to fall in love with Donald Trump. I do. But the Weekly Standard reports that Planned Parenthood will still keep the overwhelming majority of its $500 billion in funding under Medicaid. So not only are they going to keep getting the half a bill, what is it? That's real money anyway. $500 million under Medicaid. They'll keep getting their Title 10 as they challenge it in court. But the headline cries out that Trump is pro-life and the evangelicals continue on forward in a daze. Hey, take a listen. It's the Weekly Worldview, and I am your host, Doug McBurney. Thank you for tuning in. It's so good to be back. All right, so we're actually grooving to that one. Me and my extremely attractive audio engineer. Well, anyway, that was before he ever did any heroin or anything, right? Wasn't it that tour where he hurt him his hip or something?
What?
Prince.
He did heroin?
Well, he was addicted to opiates there, but it was after that tour, I think, he hurt himself. And obviously, his music got weird and creepy and not very good after that.
Yeah, but he can play.
But that was like upbeat pop before the heroin and all of that. Anyway. Now, speaking of, what was I just speaking of? Oh, dishonesty. The assault on facts. Going wobbly on the truth. American democracy, as we know it, is entering its twilight years, according to Rex Tillerson. The man who sodomized the Boy Scouts. We go from him to the mayor of New York, Bloomberg, Michael Bloomberg. He's the former mayor. Because now there's even a more communist mayor, whose name escapes me. Michael Bloomberg spoke up this past week, on, he says Americans are facing an epidemic of dishonesty.
No.
Yes, in Washington, and he says it's more dangerous than terrorism or communism.
What?
That's right. According to the former New York mayor, Michael Bloomberg, we're all facing an endless barrage of lies, an epidemic of dishonesty, and alternate realities. I couldn't agree more. It's very rare that I agree with Michael Bloomberg, who looks like a person who's animated directly by Satan himself. That's what he looks like. The guy died 15 years ago, but his body has been, possessed by the Prince of Darkness himself. That's what Michael Bloomberg looks like to me. And he sounds like that, too. But Michael Bloomberg says that this epidemic of dishonesty, this endless barrage of lies and alternative realities, it's bigger than any one person. It's bigger than any one party. Uh-huh. And then Bloomberg made reference to George Washington with a straight face. He said, we've gone from George Washington, who could not tell a lie when asked if he cut down the cherry tree, to politicians who cannot tell the truth. At which point, he should have been hit squarely in the face with a tomato. If anyone was actually paying attention. But no, he got away with it. Bloomberg says there's now more tolerance for dishonesty than I've ever seen in my lifetime. The only thing more dangerous than dishonest politicians is enablers who defend their every lie as he looked to his left and his right, to the people who hang out with him all the time. Mr. Bloomberg, I agree. I mean, when we allowed murder to be called a constitutional right, the killing of innocent people, That was the beginning of an epidemic of dishonesty. When somehow we all agreed that we would allow the government, the politicians, to take half of our income, that was the beginning of an endless barrage of lies. Yeah. And Mr. Bloomberg, when the government made the schools institute a curriculum of systematic lies about science and about our origins and about biology and psychology and sexuality, we entered into the realm of an alternate reality, Mr. Bloomberg, far more dangerous than terrorism. Far more dangerous, indeed, Mr. Bloomberg. And much bigger than any one person. Much bigger even than the political parties, indeed. A culture of alternate realities has led us to, we'll go right into it. We'll go to Santa Fe, Texas, just south of Houston. And if you'll remember, if you've been listening to the show for any period of time, you'll remember that this is reason number 666 to get or keep your children out of the government schools, that they might be shot and killed. This, back in 1999, I was doing a show with Bob Enyart at the time of the Columbine shootings. And looking back at the record, we found that we had already documented approximately 665 reasons to get your kids out of the government schools. And the Columbine shooting was just reason number 666. So now we revisit that that reason here in Santa Fe, Texas, located between Houston and Galveston. 10 dead, 10 wounded. The suspect is in custody. Got his picture all over the internet. Drudge held off on putting his picture up for about 12 hours. But then Drudge put his mug right in the middle of his page. He couldn't resist. I had a note here when I first downloaded this story. I had a note to congratulate Matt Drudge for not putting his picture up. But then the next day, Drudge did it. So here I have to scratch that note off. And anyway, he gets his mug all over the... Now everybody's psychoanalyzing this guy. And how creepy he was and all of that. We have a tweet from Betsy DeVos. Betsy DeVos, I believe, is the Secretary of Education, whatever that means. Why there would be one of those, I have no idea. But there she is. And she's a part of the conservative bamboozle job put on all you evangelical morons. You all think she's a wonderful, great, conservative Christian woman? You're a bunch of suckers! Betsy tweeted, quote, "My heart is broken, and my prayers..." So she gets the heart and the prayers and the thoughts. She gets all that out there. The obligatory thoughts and prayers. Thank you, Ms. DeVos. She concluded her tweet with, "The work of the Federal Commission on School Safety remains urgent. This trend cannot continue. Our nation must come together to keep our students safe." Fake, phony, conservative, lying, phony. How could Betsy DeVos not look at the screen? Yet again, we see kids running out of school with their hands over their heads. There's blood everywhere. People are throwing their book bags. The police all have their weapons drawn. How can you look at that, Ms. DeVos? How could any sane person look at that and not say, get your kids out of the schools. Get them out. Flee. Get out. But Betsy DeVos says she's part of the Federal Commission on School Safety. So that's part of her career, is to make a living doing things that look like they might, could possibly make the schools safe. Well, here at the Weekly Worldview, we're saying get your kids out. We have another quote from the Dallas mayor. This is not a tweet, oddly enough. He actually stood up and said this live and in the flesh. Here's what the mayor of Dallas said. He said, "History will not look kindly upon those elected officials who failed to act in the face of repeated mass murders of our children." Okay, Mr. Mayor, please. Mr. Mayor, you have participated in the mass murder of children for your entire political career. Any elected official who hasn't stood up against the slaughter of innocent children that takes place, they're all participating in a mass murder bigger than any school shooting. So spare me, Mr. He also told conservatives to spare us your thoughts and prayers, which I just told Betsy DeVos, oddly enough. He says, elected officials can do very little about this because of the aforementioned culture, three generations of an alternate reality in which the murder of innocent people is considered a sacred right out of our Constitution. Yes, the epidemic of dishonesty that surrounds that alternate reality. The endless barrage of lies. What did Tillerson call it? Assaults on the facts. Gone wobbly with the truth. You can't slaughter three generations of children and not have gone wobbly on the truth, which is where we are. And why do you think the kids are killing one another? Why do you think that is? Well, didn't I already spell it out? The schools institute a curriculum of systemic lies. And so the kids end up, one of their problem-solving tools is to shoot their fellow students. It's one available tool. And Mr. the Dallas Mayor, Mike Rawlings, I agree. History will not look kindly upon officials who failed to act in the face of mass murder of our children. But neither one of these politicians stood up and had the guts to say that, you know what? The government is not capable of raising and educating your children. We're willing to admit it. Now that there's actual blood flowing at all these schools, we're willing to admit that we can't do it. We're not qualified. We should have never gotten into this business. And we would like you parents to take care of your own kids. Well, they can't do that because they live in the alternate reality that was constructed for them, by them, and through them, and for them. Meanwhile, from the domestic tranquility file, another shooting at a high school graduation in Georgia, Jonesboro, Georgia. One woman was killed, another one wounded. Oh, listen to this. This is from the WRDW, which is a television and or radio station there in the Jonesboro, Georgia area. They say one person was killed and another was wounded by gunfire. By gunfire. This gunfire, it's scary stuff. All right, now let's... So should I comment any more on that, or have I beaten that dead horse too much with my... The fact that I take offense that reporters, journalists, as they call themselves, urinalists, as I call them, they've been trained to never assign blame to anyone ever. And so in this case, one woman was killed and another was wounded by gunfire. By gunfire, yes. I had another... Oh, that's the story I moved to the back because I really don't want to do that story. So let's go instead to Barry Obama's education secretary. Ladies and gentlemen, when Peter Cunningham, a former Department of Education employee, tweeted after the most recent school shootings that it may be time for parents to pull their children out of school. Yes, that's what he tweeted. Former education secretary Arne Duncan, Barry Obama's education secretary. He responded that his family was in. He tweeted that parents should pull their children out of school. Shocking. The tweet came after a shooting rampage, this according to the Washington Post. A mass shooting that came just 3 months after 17 students and staffers were slain at Marjorie Stoneman Douglas High School. Let's see. Arne Duncan tweeted the following. Listen to this. What if no children went to school until things changed to keep them safe? Oh, that's not what he said. He said until gun laws changed to keep them safe. Okay. Yeah. So he insists that elected officials need to pass stricter gun control laws, and he's calling for a boycott of the American schools until something changes. And even though he's aiming for the wrong change, I want to endorse his idea of the boycott. He said in the end of his quote, "My family is all in if we can do this at scale. Parents, will you please join us?" So Arne Duncan, not one to actually lead. He says, "My family will do it if you other people will do it first." Well, Mr. Duncan, not only do I endorse your idea of a boycott, my family is all in. We don't care about the scale. The rest of you people can hunker down and quiver, be under your desk or whatever. We're going to act. Whether the rest of you join us or not, we're all in. And we call on Mr. Duncan to join us. Why don't you grow up? It's the Weekly Worldview. And you know the ironic thing about that song is that I saw that guy in concert, and he actually looks like an old woman, oddly enough. It's the singer, anyway. The guitar players still look like men. But he actually looked like an old woman. But he could still hit the notes, right?
Like
I know, he could still hit the notes. All right. Now, let's go back. That's really only going to be funny or even entertaining to such a tiny sliver of our audience that was listening to.
They don't even know who that is.
Anyway, let's just move on. We'll go to the, should we comment on the fiasco with Donald Trump calling MS-13 animals? Okay, we'll just move on. Let's go instead to the fiasco in Gaza, where the Hamas basically fed nearly 100 people into Israeli machine guns on purpose just so that they could get the headlines, which they got, which is another barrage of lies, an alternate reality, an assault on the facts, all of that. So I can see how Mr. Tillerson and Mr. Bloomberg, they're becoming aware of things that I and people in this audience have been aware of for almost 20 years. That's all. They're finally starting to realize that reality no longer applies and that's dangerous. So anyway, the IDF, here's the headline from the Times of Israel. Even the Times of Israel, which is probably a liberal rag, probably anti-Jewish. Oh, I had an episode with a Jew this week. How often can you say that? So I'm in a professional situation with a Jew. I didn't know she was a Jew. And we're doing a professional presentation, business, yada hem. Turns out she's Jewish. It comes up somehow, I forget. She pulled some gefilte out of the oven. I don't know exactly what happened. Somehow it becomes obvious she's a Jew. And I said, hey, it's a big week with the embassy moving. She goes on a rant against Israel. Just, I am not on anything but pro-Israel. Don't even begin. Don't even start with me on that. Blah, 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 blah. She goes on and on about Israel. I finally had to just back off, and I got her to agree with, well, I think we shouldn't, you know, like, want to kill all the Jews. And that she was willing to agree with, grudgingly. And she's a Jew. Anyway, it was really weird. The next day, oddly enough, I end up in another office with two more Jews. I told them the story. They're rolling on the floor laughing. They couldn't believe it. And they said, look, we're not political, but, you know, we'll go with you on not killing the Jews. We're good with that. And they supported the move of the embassy to Jerusalem, which I support as well. But I don't think it's that big of a deal. But anyway, let's go back to Hamas. The Times of Israel headline says IDF exchanges fire with Gazans. Gazans, they say, in a cross-border clash is what they call it. So the cross-border clash is because the Israeli army is sitting in pillboxes and machine gun nests on the Israeli side of the border, and they're telling Hamas terrorists, do not come near the border. If you come too close, we will shoot to kill. At which point, approximately 40,000 people rush the border after setting tires on fire and creating a black fog. They start rushing the border with bombs and flying kites with Molotov cocktails. And so the Israelis, true to their word, they shot and killed, last I heard it was somewhere between 60 and 100 people. But they were not strictly Gazans, as the Times of Israel calls them. 50 of them, at least 50 of them, according to Hamas, were members of Hamas. So to say Gazans, it sounds like school children, right? Which is all you see on TV is the 14-year-old with the David and Goliath sling, yeah, right? But the 62, Hamas says 50 of the 62, at least on, what was this, Wednesday, they were Hamas. Anyway, the IDF says that the fact that 50 of them were Hamas proves that these were not peaceful protests. I can't tell you how many times I heard that. What started out as peaceful protests, what does that mean? It started out as a peaceful protest before they started throwing the bombs and the Molotov cocktails. And then David and Goliath sling with the rocks that can kill people. It was peaceful right up until then, which was right at the beginning of the whole thing. Anyway, so there you go. So let me talk quickly about this move. John Hagee says that Donald Trump has earned political immortality. Political immortality by moving the embassy to Jerusalem. He says he's completely committed to the destruction of anti-Semitism, says John Hagee. Okay, that's great, Mr. Hagee. Political immorality. I'm sorry, political immortality. What did I say? I apologize. Whenever I think of John Hagee, I somehow political immorality. I don't know. It's like a Freudian thing. Anyway, John Hagee, definitely able to help Mr. Trump with political immortality, but actual immortality he might have a problem with. Because Pastor John Hagee, basically in this article from Breitbart, he's basically giving Donald Trump the idea that he's good with God now because he moved the embassy to Jerusalem. Well, Don, if you're listening, and I don't know if you're listening, I kind of doubt it. If you're listening, Don, you're still on your way to hell with jet rockets. And the fact that you moved the embassy to Jerusalem is not going to affect God's judgment upon your unrepentant, damned eternal soul in one iota, Mr. Trump. I'm here to warn you. You need to humble yourself before God and tell him you're sorry for all the myriad immoral things that you've done in your life to hurt God and to hurt other people, Mr. Trump. Moving the embassy is not going to get it done. And one more on the, the ambassador to Jerusalem, David Friedman. What did he have to say? He says Donald Trump is very much on the right side of history. Oh, no, that's not what he said. He says Donald Trump feels that he's very much on the right side of history, or as others have said, on the right side of God. Donald Trump feels like he's on the right side of God. And he very well may be standing on God's right, but at some point in the not-too-distant future. But, God's probably right-handed, and that's the hand he's going to crush Donald Trump with as he sends him straight to hell with jet rockets if Donald Trump doesn't repent. So, John Hagee, I rebuke you as a minister of the gospel of Jesus Christ for not caring enough about the eternal soul of Donald Trump to congratulate him for doing the right thing and moving the embassy to Israel and to Jerusalem, and then warning him that, Don, I still remember you said you never said sorry to God, and that's what we need to straighten that out right now, Don. But John Hagee didn't say that because he's sucking up to Donald Trump. I don't know, so he can go to the White House? I could care less. I saw the White House from outside. That's as close as I need to get. I'm much more comfortable making the people in the White House uncomfortable. That's what I'm all about. All right, now we go to reason number 1139 to get or keep your children out of the government schools. We're back here in America. That's right, and we are living in reality. Here at the Weekly Worldview, we do not stray into an alternate reality. We stay firmly ensconced in actual reality. Actually, you don't have to preface the word reality with any kind of adjective. It's just reality. That's all. See, even I can be, influenced by the barrage of lies, the assault on the facts. It's just reality. That's all it is, folks, and it's real. And here's reason number 1139. Where is it here? Let's see. A man in the Chicago area is facing attempted murder charges. And he teaches. He's a teacher. He teaches fifth grade at Cicero Middle School. He's facing attempted murder charges for allegedly shooting a man seven times in a traffic accident. Parents are not happy that he continues to teach. They were unhappy. They found out he still had a gig. But upon learning of the matter, District 99 there in Cicero immediately engaged to take any and all actions to protect the interests of the students and the district, placing the employee on leave. And he's been on leave since February 16th, 2018. Now, somebody shot this guy seven times back, when was it? Back in, I had it circled here, in July. July of 2017 was when the shooting happened. The teacher's been in some legal trouble since July of 2017. Well, he just got suspended February 16th when parents found out that a man going on trial for attempted murder was still teaching at fifth grade in Cicero. According to the State Board of Education, they're simply unable to take action against the teacher until he's convicted. Presumed innocent, I guess. Okay, well, there you go. Here's another reason, number 1,137, in no particular order, to get or keep your kids out of the government schools. From Manassas, Virginia, a 10-year-old girl and her 11-year-old girlfriend are accused of conspiring to kill a fellow student there at their school. I said 10-year-old and an 11-year-old. The two girls, according to police, communicated with each other in cryptic language by text messages and were targeting another girl at their public school. The girls were not identified because of their age. The school was not named, but don't worry, we'll all hear about it eventually. Anyway, reason number 1,137, your child might be lured into a conspiracy to murder other children by the age of 10. It's quite possible. So what do we have left? We have the Austin bomber. We have the National Review surrender on transgenderism. The baby bus, that we can do quickly. From the decline and fall file, the fertility rate in America is at its lowest point in 40 years. According to numbers just released by the Centers for Disease Control and Prevention. Why is the Centers for Disease Control and Prevention in charge of reporting on the fertility rate? Doesn't that seem odd? Does fertility have anything to do with disease or prevention? I don't get it. I think this is, you know what's happened here is now that we live in this alternate reality, a pregnancy is considered a disease to be controlled and prevented, apparently. And so the Centers for Disease Control and Prevention report on the fertility rate. And guess what? It's at its lowest point in 40 years from the decline and fall file. The Austin bomber. Everyone remember the Austin bomber? Think back. It was like four or five massacres ago. According to the Statesman, before embarking on a bombing spree that terrorized Austin, The bomber had turned against his family's Christianity, declared himself an atheist, lost his job, went into isolation, started questioning his sexuality, and one thing leads to another before you know it, he's bombing Austin. Investigators have analyzed a recorded confession he left. Anyway, so there you have it. Another atheist, the fruits of atheism. The fruits of atheism is that killing other people becomes a legitimate tool in the toolbox to solve your problems. National Review's surrender on transgenderism. Do we even need to get into this? No. But I'll get into it a little bit. National Review columnist J.J. McCullough, who I've never heard of, but that doesn't matter. He writes for National Review, so a lot of people read his stuff. So listen to what he says about me. Here's what he says about me. He says, in some quarters, it remains fashionable to act theatrically repulsed by transgendered people, to emphasize their weirdness, and to make appeals to the preposterousness of women asking to be called him, which is exactly what we do on this show. And he says that, he says we have to stop that. So he thinks this is an act. He thinks it's, I'm just putting on an act that I'm theatrically repulsed by trannies. Well, Mr. McCullough, I beg to differ. I'm actually physically repulsed by trannies. I also think they're weird, and I like to emphasize that. And I think it's preposterous for a woman to be called him. Well, he says we need to compromise on all of that. We need to practice some broad tolerance for the reality that transgender men and women exist. and they're entitled to basic human dignity just like everyone else. Just like everyone else? But they're not just like everyone else, Mr. McCullough. By their own force of will, they are not just like everyone else. On purpose, in our face, so that we notice it. Have you seen pictures of Bruce Jenner lately? He's not like everyone else. So anyway, McCullough says that conservatives, it's time for us to get over the whole tranny thing. Just, all right. Anyway, this author, John Nolte, over at Breitbart, this is a great article. I think he did a great job. Because at the end, he says his biggest problem with McCullough asking conservatives to compromise on the transgender issue, Nolte says, wait a minute, what about the people suffering from gender dysphoria? What about that? Which is another thing that I've been saying. What about the mental health of these poor people who are deluded into believing that they're somehow not the sex that they are? What about them? Isn't it cruel to entertain them in their delusion? So anyway, I'll post a link to that. Finally, ladies and gentlemen, didn't want to do this story, but I'm going to do it. Stephanie Adams, 47-year-old mother, jumped with her 7-year-old son to their deaths from a Midtown hotel Friday in New York City. The suicide, possibly murder-suicide, came amidst a nasty custody battle with her estranged husband, whose lawyer recently demanded that she turn over the 7-year-old's passport. I don't want to get into the... anyway, this is from the Domestic Tranquility File. This is the fruit of an alternate reality where parents think that they can just get divorced and there's really no consequences. And there is a consequence. And in this case, it's a murder-suicide. And that's all. This particular mother was a former Playboy playmate. She came out as the magazine's first lesbian centerfold back in 2003, but later married a couple of different men, and she wrote 25 New Age self-help books that probably won't sell as well as they did at one time. But anyway, that's pretty sad. I'm sorry. I didn't want to do that story. Ladies and gentlemen, that's it for the Weekly Worldview. I want to thank my friends at Denver Bible Church, at American Right to Life, and of course my other brother Daryl, who makes it all happen here at the Weekly Worldview. And should the Lord tarry, we will return next week. And until then, may the grace of God go with you, and may the peace of Jesus Christ be upon you.